chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's the can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, listen, the name says it all. And if you're really rocking with us, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can get alert of all our great content right away. And don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about our great show. You can find us anywhere where podcasts are found. And don't forget as well, YouTube. We're on YouTube. So if you ever want to see a visual of my outstanding million-dollar smile and Pat P's million-dollar smile, tap into our YouTube page as well. Oftentimes here, Pat P, myself, we love to give love to the fans because if it wasn't for the fans, it wouldn't be no us. It wouldn't be no Pat P. It would be no B-Mac. Wouldn't be no All Things Covered. Those support you guys have given us has really been felt. So this is a show dedicated to our fans, Pat P.
Yes,
and we know... And we know the season is coming up right around the corner. Yep. There are so many fans that support you. Even when you were with the Cardinals, they still rock with you in a Minnesota Vikings uniform. So this show is dedicated to the fans. It's a mailbag show. So what we did, Pat P, we put this out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We wanted to get questions that fans, football fans, LSU fans, Cardinal fans, Viking fans wanted to ask you. You're the man of the hour. You're standing in the hot seat.
Oh, man.
That really don't make sense because if you were in the hot seat, you wouldn't be standing. But you get what I'm saying. He's standing, ready to go. We got a lot of questions for you, Pat. Are you ready for this show?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, first question. We're going to jump right into it. We're not going to play around, finesse this. We're going to jump right into it. First question is coming from at Landon Bance. I hope I said your name correctly. If I didn't, please forgive me. Directed to our very own Patrick Peterson. What is it like hearing the Skol chant on the field?
Man, it's nothing like hearing the Skol chant. It just, you know, it gets that blood hot for sure. And that's when you know the game is about to start. The fans are locked in. You know, it's about time for, I mean, we're already locked in, waking up. But once that Skol chant start, it's a whole new level. And it's almost like you're seeing purple in a sense, man. It's literally nothing like it. When I first got the news I was coming there, because I had the opportunity to play a couple of times in the Metrodome and also in the U.S. Bank Stadium.
Old Metrodome. People forget about the Metrodome, right?
Yeah, and it was literally, man, it's nothing like one of the loudest stadiums I ever played in, for sure.
Okay. Thank you, Landon Bance, for that question. Next question is coming from at KVC underscore Cabbage. What are you most excited for in this new Vikings regime?
The outcome of the season. obviously, going into year 12, you know, being in the playoffs, you know, playing the 4 playoff games, you know, obviously, you know, you have dreams and aspirations of playing into and more. But, you know, having this new head coach, having this new energy, new juice in the building. It just feel like it's our time. You know, now we have to, as players, we just have to go out there and execute the game plan and, execute, you know, specific techniques that will help us, help us with the winning edge over our opponents. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the outcome of the season. Hopefully it's better than last year, for sure.
No doubt. It will be. It will be better than last year, for sure. I'll put a stamp on that one. Next question, coming from at King Janney. Why is Harrison Smith so disrespected when it comes to being one of the greatest safeties currently in the game?
Oh, man, you know, everybody have different likes, you know, and, you know, it's all about, you know, up and coming, you know, younger guys, you know, so, and no disrespect to those guys. Those guys are, you know, putting up great stats and doing the things that they need to be doing to be recognized as one of the best. But Harrison has been doing that at a high level for a very long time. Very durable, accountable. You know where he's going to be. He's a game record. You know, every team knows when they're playing against the Minnesota Vikings, you have to find out what 22 is, because you know he's going to be in the middle of the field, coming off the edge, blitzing up the gut. You know, so you gotta account for him for sure, and he's still doing it going into year 11. So I don't know why the disrespect is there, but we all know what Harrison brings to this Minnesota Vikings organization and to this defensive backfield for sure.
All right, next question is coming from at Evang7406. What was the biggest worry you had when you signed with the Vikings over a year ago?
Playing in the weather, you know, being in Arizona for 10 years, not having a true winter game. I think the coldest game I played in my 10 years in Arizona was probably the Philadelphia game, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it was like 28 to 32 degrees. But it did snow when we played in Lambeau, but it wasn't that cold. It was like 35 or something. Yeah,
you know, usually when it snows, it's not that cold.
Yeah. So I didn't have much experience with, you know, playing in the cold weather. So I was very afraid and terrified how I was going to dress, how my body was going to react, because you hear so many, you know, horror stories about, you know, guys career that not lasting as long as when they start, you know, playing in the colder weather. You play your career can last a little bit longer playing in the climates of California, Arizona, Miami, Tampa. The list goes on. Old San Diego, but I was very, very terrified of the Minnesota winters because I didn't know what to look forward to. You know, I never lived in snow. I never even drove in snow. And when I did visit snow, someone always drove me. So that was the biggest frightened point for me when I decided to come to Minnesota.
All right. Next question is coming from Hortiz0822. Pat P, have you noticed a difference in Kirk Cousins this offseason with more pep in his step?
Man, honestly, man, ever since I got there, Kirk always had pep in his step, always been a great leader. Always, he's on time to work each and every day. He comes to work, comes prepared each and every day. I just think now, I just think he's just ready to let it go. You know, I won't necessarily say a new pep in his step, but that ball got a little different energy coming off his hands now. So I'm excited to see what him and Justin, Adam, Irv, and Dalvin Cook is going to be able to do. The offensive line, they'll be able to stand strong and keep the guys off Kirk so he can deliver the ball where it needs to go. But just like last year, man, the sky's the limit for us. We have all the players. Yeah. In position now, it's just going to be the ownership is going to come upon the players to go out there and making sure that we do everything that we need to do, so there is no excuses when we come into the film room on Monday. And I would have been there. I should have done that.
And personal question for me to you: when you look at that offense, and I believe, and fans chime in on YouTube, hit us in the comment box. You guys do a great job in asking questions. We try to read as many of them as possible. I believe right now in your division, you have the best offensive personnel when it comes to skill guys in the division. That's not even a debate.
Yeah, I agree.
Not even a debate. You can try to throw in Green Bay. That would be the second best team, but no. So with that being said, Pat P, with everything, and you're a cook, you love cooking. Everything that's in that cupboard, when you got the garlic powder, you got the seasoning and salt, you got the pepper, you got the onion powder, everything that's in that cabinet, how special can this offense be? Will this offense be, to say the least, with everything that's in the cabinet?
Man, you know, with the new spatula that we got.
Okay.
Flipping them burgers, man, it's going to be special, man. That signal caller is going to be huge for us, man. I believe Kevin is one of the best, came from one of the best in the game.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, been with the Shanahans a while in Washington, then being under the McVay tree in LA. So the guy who's putting all that seasoning in that pot is the guy that's going to make it work. And I think Kevin is more than capable of doing that. You know, just seeing what he was able to do just in the 6 weeks that we've been together, PAs in minicamp, man, it's a lot of moving parts. So if you're playing against us, you want to make sure that you're on your feet. Your eyes got to be in the right place. You got to make sure you're relating when the guys is flowing away from you. It's a lot of moving parts to make sure that defense is on their heels when they prepare for the Vikings.
Hey, more of the story, our listeners and viewers. It should be a fun season offensively. Heck, defensively too, for the Minnesota Vikings. Oh, Pat P, this is a good question, and you got to answer this one. Don't. I don't want to hear nothing about, well, you know, I don't usually do this. This is coming from at Mr. Cool Guy Ming. Personal goal on interceptions this year. Yeah. And I know you real well. You're going to hit me with the, well, you know, I really don't usually do. Man, these are your fans personally sent questions in for you to answer. Personal goal on interceptions.
My personal goal is, since my personal favorite number is a single digit, it's a high single digit. I wear it very proudly.
Number 7.
That's my goal.
Ooh, I can tell you this much. If you get 7, it's safe to say Pro Bowl, check. All pro team, check.
Yeah.
New contract, check.
Bing, bing, bing.
All 3 checks? You like that, huh? Look at you smiling. I made you feel good, didn't I? Yes, sir. Hey, personal goal, Mr. Cool Guy Ming, appreciate you for the question. You heard what Pat P said? 7, that's his personal goal. 7, you got 17 games. 17 to get 7.
I did seven one time in my career. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. And you know what, Pat P? I know a lot throughout basically your entire career, especially when you established yourself as that guy, you wasn't really seeing a lot of targets.
Nah.
They're gonna come this year at you. Because you know they're gonna think, well, he in year 12, he can't really move like that. You know, he really ain't like that no more.
Yeah, that's what I need. And having, you know, in this defensive scheme that we're in this year, having Daniil and Z off the edge, and having DT up the middle, Eric, Jordan, commanding the second level of the defense.
Yep.
It can be special. I feel like I can finally get some gifts now versus working for a pick, if that makes sense.
And your last game, that was the pick 6 against Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's how you end. Why don't you start the season the same way?
Why not?
There we have it. Next question is coming from at Marcus W. I don't know the answer to this one. Most underrated receiver you've covered.
Man, I talk about him all the time, man. Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, Brandon Lloyd. Yes. Yeah.
I talk about Brandon Lloyd all the time because, you know, I had an opportunity to go up against like that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was like my first like marquee matchup that I was assigned.
When he was in San Fran, is that when you?
And he was actually in St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay.
So that was my first assignment. We played against him in Arizona. That's what I had the 99 yarder. I had a pick in that game and a 99 yarder in that game. But yeah, man, Brandon Lloyd, he was just so shifty, so crafty. It was just hard to really, really get a hand on. I wish I was able to guard him now, though, like me having a better understanding of, you know, angles and how to cut receivers off and things like that. But, yeah, in my younger days, man, Brandon was tough.
Yeah, yeah. He had everything. Moves, I mean, on the line of scrimmage, body control.
No doubt about it. The body control that he had, the way he was able to, you know, keep his feet in bounds. He was what Antonio Brown used to call himself, toe tap.
Tony Toe Tap.
Yeah, he was Tony Toe Tap before Tony Toe Tap.
Facts. Hey, good answer. I don't disagree with you right there. And that's what, I don't know if you saw when I compared Justin Jefferson. I said the beginning of the route, Justin Jefferson is Keenan Allen, the way he can get you off your point from being a press corner. At the end of the route, you know, he's creating separation like Stevie Johnson used to do, being able to utilize his body to create separation when the ball is in the air. And when it comes to catching, he's like Brandon Lloyd.
Yeah. He's going to catch that ball.
He's going to catch it. No question. He's going to catch it. Good question. Good answer. Oh, this is another good one. This one comes from Obey.Evan. And in what way did leaving Arizona affect you?
In what way did leaving Arizona affect me?
Yeah.
Like,
did you have a different outlook on something because of, you know, you left one place you actually wanted to be there, or, you know, did it affect you any way possible? Did you look at things differently?
Yeah, I mean, I see things differently now. I don't really think it affected me. One thing that affected me, having to pick up all my 10 years worth of stuff in Arizona and moving it somewhere else. That was a big pain. Because once I signed to Minnesota, I ended up selling my house and everything. So once I was done there, I was done. Mm-hmm. But the only thing is, you know, seeing it from a different perspective, and I hate to bring this back up, but just the way, you know, how everything was handled.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day. But you know, other than that, I don't have any regrets on anything. My time there, had a great time there, an amazing time there. Like I say all the time, I had an opportunity to grow my family there. The Bitwells gave me an opportunity of a lifetime. But just the way the situation was handled.
Yeah.
Or how I was being communicated, you know, with to. That's probably the only thing I'll change. But other than that, man, I had a great time there. Met some great friends, some great relationship over the years. But other than that, that's about it.
And you know what, Pat P, what you just stated is something that a lot of proven Hall of Fame like guys say when their time is done at their first destination was communication, the lack thereof, the way how they handle things. You know what I mean? We oftentimes hear great players when they're at a particular place for such a long time and that comes to the end, they oftentimes talk about the handling. Look at Bobby Wagner. Remember how Seattle just basically informed Bobby Wagner they were releasing him? He found out by watching news, a news outlet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Bobby Wagner's a guy who potentially will be a Hall of Famer. I mean,
Super Bowls.
Exactly. So that's something that
like the start of the
Legion of Boom.
Yeah, that they started over there.
No question. All right. Next question is coming from at 2.4 shots. You just answered this one already, but I'll ask the question because it's a two-part question. Who was the toughest wide receiver to guard year one for you? And who is it right now in finishing up year 11, going into year 12? Who's the toughest cover for you right now? So in year one, your rookie year, who was the toughest and currently?
Year one as a rookie, I'm trying to think what all teams we played. We played the NFC East. So we played Dez. We played the Hakeem Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
Philly had Deshaun. I don't think Washington had anyone at the time.
Probably had Pierre Garçon. Probably. I don't know if he was there yet or not.
Then we, obviously, our division, we didn't have anyone big time. And
Brandon Lloyd wasn't there your rookie year? It was the Rams?
He was there my rookie year, but I'm just going down the list trying to see who I thought was the toughest. We played the, who else did we play that year? Oh, we played the Minnesota, Brandon Marshall.
Okay.
Brandon Marshall, I'll never forget, first play of the game. We in a cover two. And Brandon, it was a pass play. And I don't know how the heck he got away with this. I think we talked about this on our show.
When we had him on.
In the two. I'm at four yards, squatting. Brandon ran straight to me and put the crown of his helmet right in my face, man. And it was a pass play.
And it was no penalty.
What the heck is this dude just ran through my leverage? Like he literally ran through my leverage. But Brandon Marshall was by far the toughest receiver I had to guard my rookie year because he was big, he was fast, he was strong. Mm-hmm. This when I first got hip to the pull through. Because every time I was up there pressing, he would lift at the top of my shoulder and pull me through.
Yeah.
And then he talked about it as well when I played against him again when he was in New York. I started faking that shoulder on him, so he wasn't able to pull me through anymore. But Brandon Marshall was by far the toughest receiver I had to guard in year two. Year one and year two came around, had that guy Megatron.
Huh. Yeah. Had a full lunch for that one.
I got 22 targets that game. 22 targets.
I know you needed an IV after that game. But I know you were blow, boy.
I wanted to.
And what people don't realize why that's such a difficult task. It's one thing to know the ball is coming to you 22 times, but for us, we don't know it's coming.
Right.
So when you find out it's coming, now you kick it into high gear. You don't want him to catch the football, but when he catches the football, now you got to tackle.
Right. And with me, my first, majority of my career, I played with my back against the quarterback anyway. So I never knew when the ball was coming. I had to have anticipation when I thought when I thought the ball was coming.
Wow. Wow.
And who is it right now? Who is it right now, Pat P? Right, toughest cover you think?
Right now, I mean, so many good ones, man. I go JJ, man. Like, just being around him every day and just seeing what he's able to do on the football field on Sundays. Like I said last year, he was going to be a top three receiver this year.
Yeah, you said it. And I said he's going to be number one. I think he's going to lead the league in receiving yards.
I'm saying last coming into this.
Yeah, you said last year. Yeah.
I said
he actually finished number two with the stats in receiving yard right behind Cooper Kupp. So you were right on the money with your prediction. So
this year, you might see a triple crown.
Ooh. Well, heck, Kevin O'Connell just came from an offense that produced a triple crown winner.
Hello.
Right? Right?
Hello.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right, hello. Well, he just came from offense that produced a triple crown winner. So,
and I'm telling you, what I see in practice every day, they trying to get it to him.
They're not wrong. They're not wrong at all. All right, next question comes from @twin_Pappas. Oh, shoot. I know the answer to this one.
What is it?
Who's the better golfer between P2 and BMAC? You laughing at me? I told you. I got my first. Hey, listen, listeners and viewers, I don't really golf. I don't golf at all. But I participated in Joey Porter's, my former teammate, celebrity golf tournament in Pittsburgh. And I got my first birdie.
Yep. He told me.
Got my first birdie.
Congratulations.
And yo, Pat, check this out. My putt game is real nice. I don't know what was going on. Because you know how you do it, Pat. Anytime you participate in a celebrity golf tournament, you as a player, you're playing with other guys who play a lot. They might not be an athlete, but they play a lot. So my tee off game was a little It gradually, because we play 18 holes, by the way. And Pat P, get this. True story. You already know what happened. So we flew into Pittsburgh on Sunday, right? We did a nice event Sunday night. We all get to the hotel. I got to my hotel around probably like 11 something, right? So I'm about to take a shower. The boys call my phone. Because, see, at the event, we was boo-raying. We was playing cards. I get in the room, and the boys say, "Matt, we about to go ahead and crank it up again. We about to start playing." I said, "Man, y'all boys ain't tired?" Like, "No, man, we ain't tired. Let's go. What we going to do?" Man, Pat P, I got in the room. We play it in James Ferrier room. I got in the room around 11:40, his room. I didn't get back to my room until 8:30. We had to be on the golf course at 9:30 to play 18 holes.
Cowboys went that old time, huh?
we not bright at all. Pat P, you talk about tight and it was hot. That's the thing. Listen, because you know I don't golf like that. I didn't realize and understand how much energy goes into golfing.
Oh, yeah.
The walking. Yes. It, going from one hole to the next. You gotta walk up the hill, you gotta walk down the hill.
Oh yeah.
Man, I was seeing double.
How about that? Boy, listen, sleep pride, man.
Hey Pat, all I was able to do was go to my hotel room, take a shower, put on my golf gear, my polo, my satchel, and we booed. That's what we did, Pat P. But yeah, Pat P, I gotta get on. I'm ready now. So now you know what's next for me, Pat P.
What's that? I gotta
get me some gear. I gotta get my gear. I gotta get me a club. I gotta get a beginner's club and put my initials on it. With the little cover thing you put on the top. What y'all call that?
Head cover, man.
I need my head cover. Yes, sir. With BMAC on it. That's what you need to help me. Help me get my gear together.
I got you.
Yeah. My putt game decent. I can putt with the best of them because they were surprised. Them boys was like, man. Well, the guys were like, oh, my goodness, McFadden, I said, no, man. You got to finesse it. You got to finesse it. And I had to get my stance right. At first, my stance, I was straight up. I ain't had no knee bend. You feel me? I had no knee bend. I got to keep my eyes over it, and I got to have my elbows tucked when I'm about to tee off a little bit. You hear me? You hear me? I'm a coach. Yes, sir.
Shoulder width.
Yeah, but Pat P, the best golfer in our family. Pat P, one of the best golfers in the league right now currently, so that's easy for him. All right. Yeah. This one comes from @A_Wolf8. Favorite NFL team color combination, both as a kid and now. So your favorite NFL team as a kid and their color combination. And of course, your favorite team is the Minnesota Vikings. But what is your favorite color combination for the Vikings? So growing up, I know you were a Dolphin fan, right?
I was. Big Dolphin fan.
Yeah. Miami Dolphins.
That was not my favorite color combination.
Oh, who was it?
My favorite color combination?
Yeah, as a kid.
As a kid, I'm trying to think. I used to love when Tampa Bay brought out the orange sickles.
Oh, yes, sir. The orange sickles. And the old, and when they used to play in the old sombrero.
Yes.
The old stadium, yes. The orange sickles.
Fire. And I did like Atlanta when my Vic uniform when they changed the uniform from like the solid black. Mm-hmm. Like it don't have no stripes on it, but when Mike Vick came on, it had like the bird coming down.
Oh yeah, and they wear that all black. Ooh. They wear that all black.
Sunday night and Monday night when them boys on TV, ooh, them boys so clean. Yeah.
They had it on the side and on the side of the pants too. The stripe.
Yeah,
I know so what you're talking about.
Ones are like to really funk it up a little bit with the stripes.
Yeah.
So those are my two favorite, and right now, my favorite color combination to wear is all white.
All white.
Yeah, I like that all white.
Well, since you said that, can you give me some high white socks and white cleats? All the way white. Can you white it all the way out since you said it? Because I know you talked about this.
Yeah,
you
we told talked about me. It. I said I was gonna do it Monday night against Philly.
Philly. That's week two.
Yeah, week two. And you said if I get a pick, we gotta keep it going. So
yeah, I'm
gonna keep it going.
All right. Good question. Oh, this is another good one coming from @TaylorKid97. Top three defenders you've played with in your entire career. Your top three.
That I played with.
You played with, meaning on your team.
And when you say defender, it can be anybody on
it. It can be any defender. It could be a lineman, linebacker, right. Secondary guy, top three.
Gotcha. Okay, when most people say defender, they're talking about secondary. But
yeah,
I gotta go I gotta go one, two, and three, or I just name.
Yeah, you got to go one, two, and three. They say they want to know your top three. That's coming from @TaylorKid97. Shout out to Taylor Kid.
Top three. I'm going to go. Damn, it's tough, man. I'm going to go. Yeah, it's real tough. I'm going to go. And you said defenders. So I'm going to go Darnell Dockett.
Okay.
Then I'm gonna go with A Dub was a good player, but I played with him at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But he still was a ball. He still made Pro Bowl. So I'm gonna go A Dub.
Yep.
And Honey Badger.
Oh, like it. Oh, but Pat P, you forgot a name too.
I know.
Yeah. You know who you forgot?
Who?
Chandler Jones.
I know I did. I did not forget Chandler. I did not forget. It was between Chandler and Dockett. And
so why did you go Dockett over Chandler?
Because Dockett was just able to do what he was able to do, to take on double teams. I won't say that he was Aaron Donald, but the freak of nature, he had that for sure. To be able to play the three, the one, the nine. You could pretty much put Darnell anywhere, and just athletic ability was just so freaky. You know what I mean? The dude can squat the house, lift the house. You know, he can turn the corner if you need him to. He can bull rush if you need him to. He was just such a freak of nature when I first got there, and I never really played with anyone like that in the interior.
Yeah.
Then I think our third year together, that's when he tore his ACL. So it was kind of, pretty much over for him because he went to San Fran, and I don't think he played again after that. Yeah. But that's why it was between those two. I didn't forget Chandler, and I didn't forget Buddha either. It was just
you got Buddha, you got Calais Campbell.
I feel like Dockett was just special at his position. Calais Campbell, but Calais, he's like. His body structure, gave him the ability to pretty much manhandle everybody. Not saying that his athletic ability wasn't there, but you know, just the dog that that Dockett was in that interior.
Yeah, that's Florida State. That's what we do at yeah. Florida State.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't seen speaking many- of Florida State, you know, week two, Florida State got LSU.
They kicked y'all behind on ABC and wherever the game.
It's on ABC, Sunday Night Football, only game yeah. being played.
Yeah, we're going to spank y'all behind.
It's like a home game for y'all in the Superdome. I don't
yeah,
like
man, we're going to pick y'all by 10 and just going to take that 40-minute bus ride back on to the boot.
That's how you feel?
That's how I feel.
Hey. We're going to talk a little more about that when that time get close.
That time.
You already be, I would love to sit there and watch it with, ooh, with Pat P. Because that's the week before. You might have an off day. We might need to go check that out in person.
I'll be home. Oh, you talking about, I got to check the schedule.
Yeah, because that y'all don't play. That's Labor Day. That's Labor Day Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that might be a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see if the wife.
Go ahead and get the PJ fly ready for us, man. We can go ahead and make that happen. Pat P don't fly commercial. Mm-mm. No, Pat don't do that. Yeah, get the PJ together. What'd you say?
I plead the fifth.
No, you ain't got to. I just said you Pat on the, going through an airport? No. No, Pat. Hey, let me tell you what type of boss Pat P is. So we on the show. I'm talking too much. I must be drunk off this aqua. I'm drinking. I'm fired up. So we about to go to Super Bowl. So CBS trying to figure out Pat's travel arrangement and get everything lined up for Pat P. Because they're like, you know, we want to fly Pat P out. So B-Mac hit him up and see, you know, when he want to fly out. So in my mind, I'm like, huh? I said, I hit him up. I'm like, Pat, it's fine commercial. I said, Pat, CBS want to know when you want to fly out. He said, for what? I said, so we could do our show. He said, man, don't worry, I'm going to fly myself out there. I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and tuck my chain in and just let him know what you said.
I ain't say that.
Huh? What'd you say?
I said, I ain't say that.
The devil's a lie. Yes, you did. I tucked my chain in like red. I had my chain out, but when you said that, I said, I just tucked mine on in. Pat said, I'm going to fly myself out there. Hey, we not doing that.
I was on time, wasn't it?
You was on time. You're right. You was on time. Let's say, hey, make sure you get the pilot ready, man. We go to New Orleans.
If the schedule aligns the right way and the wife don't have nothing planned, we could definitely do that.
Sound like a plan. Next question is coming from T_Croft. He said he would like to know, who was your inspiration to play professional football as a child? Like, was there someone particular that you gravitated to try to become a professional football player?
I mean, I always loved Deion. You know, I always watched him when I was growing up, and my dad was a defensive back. So I probably say my dad more than anything, because he's the one that gave me that drive, that love, that passion for the game. And obviously have an opportunity, you know, to watch you fulfill your dreams and saw the dedication and the work that it takes to get to the top level. You know, I'll probably say you three guys for sure. You know, watching you fulfill your dreams, my dad putting that passion and that love and that fire in me about the game, and watching Deion, you know, Deion transcend the position. You know, he was a trendsetter when it came to defensive back. You know, you didn't see many defensive backs playing both sides of the ball. You didn't see many defensive back catching punts, kickoff returns. So growing up watching that, that's what I wanted to do, because I knew my dad always told me, although I played every position on the football field, that I was going to be a defensive back, you know, at the next level.
Yeah.
He just played every position so I can have a better understanding of the game. So if I needed to play a different position, if somebody got hurt, it would be second nature to me. So I always knew I was going to be a defensive back, and seeing what Deion was able to do, that was something I always wanted to do. And when I went off to college, I wanted to be a Jim Thorpe winner, just like he was. You know, I wanted to return punts. I wanted to do everything that he did, because that brought value to his game. That brought, you know, a different ring to his brand, you know. So that's something I wanted kind of to, you know, model my game out there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, you know, Lawrence Taylor was my guy. I was a Giants fan because of Lawrence Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to inflict pain the way Lawrence Taylor inflicted pain on opposing guys. Like, that was my guy, Lawrence Taylor, boy. With that middle ball coming down his face, man, with them long white sleeves and that high white spat and white socks.
Yeah.
56 was a Hellraiser.
He had that club too.
No question. No question. My little league coach used to say, hey, when we walk off the bus, hell coming with us.
Yes, sir.
And that's what Lawrence Taylor brought when he walked off. Well, he brought hell with him. So yes, LT. Next question is coming from Gurged at Gurged. If you, oh, this is a good one, Pat Pete. If you can intercept any current quarterback right now, who would it be? Any current quarterback right now in the National Football League, if you can pick them off, who would it be?
Any current quarterback right now? Let me see who we play this year.
We got Aaron twice.
Yeah, I picked off Aaron before, though.
Oh, I know one person you never picked off. I know one person, Pat P.
You know one person I haven't picked off?
I know one person you ain't picked off. Not in the real game.
Yeah, I know one too, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I want that one for sure. Yeah, I go Kyler, or I got Josh Allen 2 years ago. Yeah, I go Mighty Mouse.
Okay. All right. This is another good question coming from at @Evan_Lisick. Would you rather have an elite safety behind you or an elite corner on the other side?
I'd rather have
question.
On the other side.
Why is that?
Because now you got to pick your poison.
Yeah.
You know, want to go where you want to go at the ball. I won't necessarily say you can get anybody to play safety, because safety, it is some, you know, some instincts that you have to have to be able to read the quarterback, break at the proper angles and things like that. But hell, if you get a safety to play deep enough, he'll be able to play over the play the deep ball over the top. But mm-hmm. I think if you can get two shutdown corners, man, you cooking with grease.
No question. No question. I know the answer to this question, but this is coming from at @KPKing1415. Do you miss the Honey Badger?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. That's a silly question right there, man. No doubt about it. God, man, I love playing with, you know, playing with my guy Tyron. You know, just like you know how it is being a defensive back. When you have a connection without even, you know, saying, like, I can guarantee we haven't played with each other in hell, what, since 2016? But I
it's
guarantee
been a long time.
We'll be able to still feed off each other. I guarantee you that.
No question.
That'll never go anywhere, because it's just something that, you know, with both of us being ball players and both of us training together, we kind of know how each other think. We kind of see what each other see. We know how each other move. So it's like, hell, man, it's just like riding a bike. You know, hopefully I get another opportunity to step it up with my guy. I know I don't have, you know, 10, 15 years left in me, but, you know, hopefully I get another opportunity to strap it up with him.
No question. Great question coming from KP King 1415. Fans, thank you for your questions. We hope you enjoyed this mailbag portion of our show. There will be a part two. We can't forget about all the questions that we weren't able to get to. We will have that coming at a later date, clearly before the start of the season. So make sure you continue to tap in. And we appreciate all the fan participation once again. I enjoy reading these questions to Pat P. I know he enjoyed answering those questions as well.
Yep.
So if you got anything else that you would love for Pat P to answer before the start of this Super Bowl run, y'all heard I said
Super Bowl run,
Pat P. Super Bowl run. And also, too, if you guys got a take on who might win this upcoming game with LSU against Florida State, let us know what your take is as well. Me and Pat P probably going to be there if his schedule permits. We're going to be on the jet, so we ain't flying commercial to New Orleans. Mm-mm. See you when we see you.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.